just sent me an email that says, let me dance for you. Beep.
Fantastic. It's 503-733-2970. It's the Rick Emerson radio program. All right. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to get sidetracked by the whole refrigerator thievery business.
Yeah, I heard you giving some salespeople some lip in the hallway.
No, we were just... The memo was the source of great hilarity this morning. There was a whole lot of, wait a minute, I'm unclear about this. Am I allowed to steal food that belongs to... It's still very vague.
What if you get permission to steal somebody else's lunch?
What if you take it and then replace it with an identical item before they notice it's gone? All right, 503...
There should be some sort of refrigerator court.
And by... We should totally do that. We should know, by the way, that I apparently it was only this building. Because no one anywhere else in the CBS radio family ever steals. Just us. Not Kink, of course.
No.
Because... They just started
when they hired us.
Kink is better than everybody else. Oh, you know, they probably think it's us anyway. I'm not trying to have a persecution complex, but you know that they look right at us for all of that. You know that we are we are totally viewed as being the destructive factor in this building. I'll guarantee you. All right, it's 503-733-2970.
Let's see.
What did I have to do? I had all this crap to get to. I got to do I got this stuff about the vegan guy. And the stuff about the World Series of Hockey. Oh, and then tomorrow, do not forget, tomorrow, David Cassidy will be joining us here on the Rick Emerson Show for reasons unknown. I'm not even sure what he's doing. Is he producing? He's at the Chinook Winds Casino. On two nights!
Well, the first one must have been sold out.
You know, Rickles was sold out.
Yeah.
That's the amazing thing. I mean, not to knock Don Rickles, but I mean, he's like 100 years old, and you got to figure most of his target demo's dead. Don Rickles was sold out the first night, very nearly sold out the second night.
And I made the mistake of getting there 15 minutes ahead of time, thinking I'll walk right in. No, there was a line way out.
But we had the golden seats, though. Yeah. We really did. We were right there in what they call the firing line. Yes, David Cassidy tomorrow, 1:20. Right here. Interview to discuss upcoming performance at Chinook Winds Casino in Lincoln City, Oregon.
Is there anything he can't be asked?
No. Let's watch. Chuck, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Yeah, this is Chuck.
Chuck, how can I help you?
Well, we were talking about Daddy J tying him up to the refrigerator to save it.
Yeah.
I got a couple chants for you.
Okay.
First one would be...
Chuck, are you talking through a sock?
I'm on a cell phone in a warehouse. Sorry about that.
Okay, no, it sounded a little muffled there. Okay, so what's up with the refrigerator, with the thing? Huh?
Well, you said something about tying Scotty J up to one.
Well, because apparently that's their solution to the food thievery, is just to get rid of the refrigerator, which seems a little bit like an overkill, but what are you going to do?
Yeah, that's suit thinkology for you. Anyway, my chants were don't cross that bridge, save our fridge. And then I thought maybe... toss the thief, not the beef.
Toss the thief, not the beef. That's fantastic. Oh. Excellent. All right. Thank you, Chuck. I appreciate that.
Thank you.
All right. There you go. That's Chuck. Well, there you go. So we'll do a cinema. We should do the show from the kitchen. We should just set up a little table in the kitchen.
That'd be more room than we have now.
We'll do the show from in front of the Frigidaire. Let's see. What am I, hello, this is, As Scotty J is noting on the screen right now, David Cassidy is a huge performer, not unlike Jerry Lewis. Bada bing! Roger, what's up?
Hey! I just wanted to let you know, since I'm speaking from management viewpoint, it's not to keep the people from stealing, it's to keep the people from complaining about stealing.
Well, no, but here's the thing. I'm not saying that it's acceptable or that you should do it, you know, or that it is right to steal the food of others, but I mean, it just, these things happen. Do you know what I mean? You put food in a... Look, if it's really something that is, you know, that you don't want touched, don't put it in the refrigerator at a radio station. I'm not saying that that's good, but I'm a realist. I'm dealing with the way things are. And
well,
food in a refrigerator at a business that runs 24 hours a day will be stolen. That's just the way it goes.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, there you go. Glad we agree. Thank you, sir.
Oh, he's mad.
Well, what are you going to do? I'm not telling you to steal food, but I mean, it'd be one thing if it was a regular 9-to-5 business. But anytime you're dealing with a business that is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, there's going to come a time where, like, between Kenny Chesney records, it's like, you know, that Totino's pizza is just not tiding you over. And you start, I've done it, not recently, but when I was a DJ, when I was an overnight DJ, had no money, it just completely dirt broke, working the overnight shift, and it was just, you know, and you have nothing. And I have told, look, I have gone so far, and this is years ago, so I will first of all say that I have not taken food out of a refrigerator in, I mean, it's been a decade, whatever. It's been years and years and years and years since I was a music jock. But I do remember, and this is not to say that I'm putting the blame on the guys at Couple. I don't know who the refrigerator thief is. I don't really care. All I'm saying is, when I was a music DJ, I had long overnight shifts where literally I would go root around in like under sofa cushions, just anything. Look, there's one with meat on it. You know, just, I remember actually like 4 a.m. And again, I'm not trying to sing the sad song of me. I chose a field that was sort of financially unstable. I went into a business where I wasn't making a lot of money. I'm not trying to put that blame on anybody else. I mean, I could have gotten a real job. I could have gone to college. I could have been a contender.
And it's too late now. It's really too late now.
Yeah, so I've got nothing. But when I was like, you know, I was a 19-year-old, 18-year-old, 17-year-old DJ, I had no money. It's like I paid rent and the gas to get to the radio station. And as Tim Riley once noted, sometimes it was a choice between like keeping your heat on and buying food. And so
a shortcut through the cemetery after your car ran out of gas.
Didn't you have to quit smoking because you couldn't afford food?
That was correct, yeah.
That was me as a DJ. So I remember working on the overnight shift and I had no money and being so hungry that literally I would look underneath sofa cushions and behind couches. I remember one night, it was like 3 a.m. and I had it was like some Bob Seger record on and I'm like busy rooting around looking and there's nothing in the fridge. I've already tried sticking a coat hanger up the vending machine, like trying to chisel out like some, you know, like some Twizzlers or something. I remember finding half a roll of Lifesavers behind a sofa cushion, and it was that old kind where it's like the paper wrapper is gone, it's just the foil part, and then it's like the top Lifesaver is all fuzzy because it's got, you know, it's got like couch
and the rest of them are all gummy.
The rest of them are all gummy, but it really, it was like I'd found the Ark of the Covenant. You know, I'm like running up, McRib is, you know, totally putting down like, you know, half a roll of Lifesavers because I was so hungry. So these things happen. It's just the way...
Because people are poor.
It is the way of the world.
I'll admit that when we were at Fisher, like, if you get really hungry and, like, all of a sudden somebody doesn't show up and you're expected to pull, like, a double shift...
You stole food.
You're stuck there.
Yeah.
I replaced it.
Yeah.
But I did steal it for the night.
I did not replace it. I never replaced anything. But I did this. No, I did have in my head, though, I have sort of a criteria for what I would steal and what I wouldn't when I was a DJ. And again, I'm not proud of this. I'm not... These are actions I've done things I'm not proud of. But I would, first of all, I would never steal anything that had obviously just been put in there. Like, you know, if you see food 2, 3, 4 days, like, have you ever done this?
Someone prepared, like a homemade sandwich.
Yeah, or like, yeah, and like it was just brought in, you know, like they just brought it into work that day or they brought it that day but didn't quite get to all of it. Like, have you ever done this? Have you ever, stalked food? In other words, you saw food sitting on the shelf, and you sort of started to note when it had been there several days in a row. And so when the food has been there 2, 3, like I would see food in the refrigerator. This makes radio sound like the worst job ever. I'm so hungry. No, I would see food in the refrigerator on like a Tuesday, and I would make a mental note. It's true.
Oh, those pickled pig's feet.
I would see food in the refrigerator like a Tuesday, and I would make a mental note like, you know, yummy cheese type product in pink container on Tuesday. And then if Wednesday went by, and then as it gets to Thursday, you're looking every day hoping it'll still be there. Because then my rule was, if by Friday night it's still there, I'm going to eat it. Because it's going to be there all weekend. And if you steal food over the weekend, it sort of distributes the pool of suspects. You know what I mean? Like, it could be any... If you steal it... Like, and that's the thing about this building is, there's only a handful of people that are here after hours. I mean, if you come here at like 9 o'clock at night, there's really only whoever's on the air a couple. Sometimes I work late because, you know, because I got a big chunk of my day is taken with this show. So I work late sometimes. And then there's like a production guy.
It could be that some brazen thief is stealing during broad daylight because nobody suspects.
Maybe we should blame it on a cleaning guy. Maybe that's it. We should totally pin it on him. No, but I would steal food over the weekend because on the weekend, especially in the old days when it was like, you know, there was live DJs and whatnot, there was like 20 people in there. Plus all the promo people that are coming in because they got remotes and live broadcasts are doing, they're filtering in over the weekend. And plus, if the food has been there for 3 or 4 days already, and then you tack on another 2 days, you can sort of rationalize in your head that, well, they didn't want this food anyway. It's just sitting there. You know what I mean? It's, you know, it's sort of like stealing from a rich person who doesn't even watch that third television. It just sits there taking up space and gathering dust. You're like, well, they weren't even eating this cheese. It's just sitting there unloved. And you tell yourself, you're like, I'll appreciate this cheese. They're taking this cheese for granted. I'm so hungry. So, anyway, there you go. God, I remember one time, we were doing some, this is, again, years and years ago, another market that I worked in, but I remember doing, I was just so broke all the time, and I'm really not trying to be like, I paid my dues at the school. It was just sad for, like, radio pays, nothing. And especially when you're like 18 and just starting. But I remember doing like a live broadcast at a bar somewhere. And of course, the afternoon drive guy who makes like, you know, a jillion dollars a year, you know, he's totally there and he's doing his live thing. And of course, I'm just like, and I'm scrounging for like any hours I can get, working for minimum wage, just slave wages. And it's like, you know, do you want to work this afternoon broadcast where the DJ is just going to be drunk at a bar, broadcasting on the air and hitting on barmaids? Yes! So I'm working that. And I remember when the barmaid would turn her back, I would reach into that like olive and lemon wedge tray. And just, like, scoop. And because at the bar, they don't just have the small little green olives. Like, most bars, they have the queen-size olives. And I remember just reaching into that little, not condiments, but you know what I mean? That tray on the bar where they have the orange slices and the olives and the cherries. And I remember when the barmaid would turn her back, I would just totally reach in there with my scooped hand and just try to get as many olives as I possibly could out of there. Sad. What am I even doing here? Let's see. Oh, here we go. This is Paul. Paul, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, Rick. Good afternoon. How are you?
What's up, brother?
Hey, I used to live in Salt Lake City, and I know you never made as much as Barberry at Call, right?
Tom Barberry was like the Bob Miller of Salt Lake City market. And if you're saying, who? That's exactly what I mean. Tom Barberry was like Bob Miller, a guy who was paid an exorbitant sum of money to broadcast to 15 people, most of whom are only listening because they are old and sick enough that they cannot get to their radios to change the dial. And their cats. Yes. Anyway, yes, Tom Barberry.
I got a food confession.
Uh-huh.
I used to be based there in Salt Lake City for a certain airline.
Okay.
So I'm an ex-flight attendant.
Yes.
And I used to eat food off your trays. And if you made me mad, I used to spit in your salad.
So you were the guy? Were you the guy who brought the trays of food?
Yes, sir. Yeah.
So what was the food that you would steal? Was it stuff that like was packaged, or was it stuff that was sort of like spaghetti, where you could take some and you don't really know how much is supposed to be there in the first place?
Well, if it was first class, we had like a salad with cheese and ham and, you know, on it, and I would take the ham off and the cheese and eat it.
Well, because if I'm some guy in a plane, how am I supposed to know there's supposed to be ham on the salad?
Well, it was kind of like a, you know, expensive salad. You know?
Did they not pay you? Is that
no,
why?
That you got it.
I mean, that seems like a job where you get paid a decent wage, though.
No, we didn't get paid much at all. This is back in the 80s.
And so you were responsible to steal ham off the salad.
Well, I'd steal whatever I could that you didn't know about. You didn't know it came on your tray.
No, it's true. No, I'm not blaming you, sir. I blame the man. And so then if people displeased you, you would just hawk one up right in their food?
Oh, yeah.
Listen to that. Listen to that.
People should know that if you piss off your, excuse my language, your flight attendant, then you better check your salad or check something.
Listen to that. And just, you know what it is? It's the little thrill of gloat that he got there in his voice. That, oh, yeah. Sort of like a, those were the golden times. All right.
Make your flight attendant happy.
Oh, no. There's certain groups of people that I'm always very nice to. The guy that cuts your hair, the guy that brings your food. Yeah, there's certain types of people that I'm very courteous to because I can tell you this, I got the whole tipping thing where some groups of people I tip and some people I don't, but you know what? I tip the guy that fills my car with gas because that guy always works a lot harder than I do in bad weather, and I tip the guy that brings me the pizza. I tip anybody who touches my food at all. If I could go in the kitchen and tip the chef, I would. I tip anybody that touches my food. Not so much because they're giving me good service. I view that as paying protection. That's sort of like when you're paying off the mob. Because, you know, that movie, The Mob, nice business you got here. Be a shame if something would have happened to it. You know, it's like that's how I view it with the linguine. You know what I mean? Because there's a guy in the back just waiting to unzip his pants as soon as I irritate him. So that's not going to happen. I'm not going to get my cream chowder. No, thank you. All right. Thank you, Paul.
Bye-bye.
There you go. Let's see. Joe, hello.
Hey, Rick. How's it going?
Joe, what's up, brother?
Number one, the best thing to do to keep someone stealing your food, ex-wax brownies.
Yeah, but now that's that. But see, people are looking for that now. People, that I think that's a thing that they're on the lookout because that's been done a lot.
Here's the other thing. If you're going to change Scotty to the fridge, it has to be, he has to be oiled up and in a G-string or edible undies.
Why on earth would you say that?
Because that's the only way it's going to be interesting, because really most people don't give a rat's ass about your fridge trouble. So you need to make it interesting to the rest of it.
That's
embarrassing, or just showing Scotty what radio is really like and just seeing how low he will really sink.
I think Scotty already knows. I think in the space of 1 week, he's been made to get my lunch. He's been made to go out and feed Sarah's parking meter. Really, the only thing we haven't asked him to do is to, like, clean laundry for us. That's pretty much it. All right, Joe, thank you, sir. All right, there you go.
How about if we put a picture of somebody's eyes in the refrigerator? I heard that that works.
One of those, you know, we should get one of those World War II propaganda posters, you know, which is like a picture of a horribly caricatured Asian man with a whole lot of, he's wanting you to steal lunches. When you steal lunches, you aid the Japanese menace. Let's see. Who is, Scotty, who's on the hotline? Really? Is it Storm? All right. Excellent. Well, let's, ladies and gentlemen, we were going to go to the news. Oh, we're so behind. Ladies and gentlemen, let us now welcome to the Rick Emerson. Should we have the Storm Watch theme? Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for your Monday afternoon Storm Watch.
Attention residents of the greater metropolitan Portland area and surrounding cities and suburbs. The Rick Emerson Show is issuing a severe storm watch in your area.
First and foremost, I am a performer. I take command of the stage. I take control of the show and give everybody a good time.
Storm, did it freak you out to be the first performer tonight?
I like being first. I am unafraid.
Let's now welcome to the Rick Emerson Show from rock star, supernova, contestant, and future winner of that program, Storm Large.
How you doing, honey?
Storm Large, how you doing, sister?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
We're very proud of you.
Man, I got to tell, first of all, I know that last week, because the whole thing, there's a whole minefield of stuff you can say and stuff you can't and whatever. And last week, I had gotten tipped off. There's a series of emails. Somebody emailed me last week. You're going to love what Storm Large sings. And that's all they said. And then somebody else emailed me, and they said, well, look, I'm not going to tell you the song, but Storm sings Cheap Trick. And I had sort of assumed that it was going to be I Want You to Want Me, I guess just because it's sort of the poppier, you know, probably more well-known song. And I was like, oh, I couldn't possibly be Surrender. That would be too great. I couldn't be that lucky. And so we're sitting at Sabala's, Sarah and I and some of our friends, and you come out, and first of all, in the pigtails, which is fantastic.
Thank you.
And then Brooke Burke says, you know, blah, 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 singing Surrender, and it was, we were all like, yeah! It was a huge cheer from everybody, because, you know, that is my favorite song of all time, period, hands down. It's got a, I know it's, Surrender's got a huge, you know, it's got a connection to Davey as well, and dude.
Yep.
And we've performed it, I think, at all of our listener parties in one version or other. So it was fantastic, and you did a great job. You really nailed that song.
Thank you.
And you, I mean, when you're singing it, because you sing a sort of a truncated, you know, an edited version of the song, do you perform the whole song and then they edit it later, or do you learn an edited version of it?
I learn an edited version of the song, so it fits in a 90-second slot, pretty much. Oh. And they give me, the house band gives me a version, and I either take it as it is or I modify it to my own specifications.
Now, are you allowed, you guys, to sort of rearrange songs at your pleasure?
Well, within reason, yeah, within reason. It's gotta be cool, it's gotta be within a certain time limit. But the house band is phenomenal, and they'll tailor anything to what we want, whether it's to our own detriment or if it works.
Yeah, those guys.
Yeah, they're awesome.
They're a really great band.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, that house band is fantastic.
Great guys too.
What did you? I don't know, you know, how to sort of word some of this, but what did you think last week of? I mean, there was Zaira who had, I mean, a pretty awkward performance, after which the band themselves said, like, what is your problem? And then she came out and she did exactly the same song in exactly the same awkward, terrible fashion, and yet didn't get kicked off. Right. Was that a surprise to you guys?
It was a little bit, but sitting in the pod where we wait, watching the show, I felt that her performance was much stronger. It showed vast improvement from the night before, and with more conviction. And Chris, I understand where they were coming from. You know, Chris was showing them his softer side, whereas they're always looking for someone to bring out some more teeth and some more edge.
Right.
And they had already had an issue with Chris being in the bottom three a bunch, and so, you know, it kind of went that way. They wanted to see what Zaire is going to bring this week.
So, Storm,
and,
can you... Oh, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. Go ahead.
It's okay, baby. It's going to be, just so you know, it's going to be a sick show tomorrow. You have no... I mean, you probably do because of all the spoilers. I just heard about the spoilers, but it's an awesome show.
You've already taped everything for tomorrow?
I don't know
the answer to that. No, I got to tell you that Sarah and I avoid spoilers like the plague. And I know that Davey and many other people are drawn to those sites.
No, I'm going to read some of them today,
though. I can't do it.
I have a bachelorette party to go to tomorrow, and I have to go. So I'm going to try and watch it at whatever bar we go to, or else I'm going to read some of them.
Well, I try to keep myself spoiler-free because I kind of like to be surprised. But
Good for you, Rick.
I wanted to ask you, did you bring your red dress with you? You should totally wear that.
I didn't, actually. I've been hearing things about, you know, hey, why don't you, you know, dress a little more, you know, like a girl and, you know, be a little more feminine. And I'm just kind of like,
Sarah should, well, seeing as, you know, like Sarah.
I know, 'cause you and I were going to go shopping together and, yeah, no.
I know, and we never got a chance.
I know.
And I have a stylist now. I have a really nice gay man who takes me shopping, and he's accused me of having a penis on more than one occasion. I'm like, I want to wear this. And he's like, Storm, I know you have a penis. That's the horrible thing. Why would you want to wear that?
Well, the pigtail look kind of worked for me, though. I like that a lot. I do have to say, though, that the idea of a guy who has 5 pounds of mascara on telling you that you looked like you were in Cats was a little ridiculous.
How short is he in person? He looks like he's about four feet tall.
He's almost my height, actually. He's a decent-sized man.
Yeah, that guy, he looks like he ought to be wearing a rhinestone collar and playing with catnip. So, I don't know about that. I've gotten, over the course of the day, some questions emailed for you. Somebody wants to know, do you all have a song ready to go in case you're in the bottom three?
Sometimes. In some cases, we do. Sometimes they change, depending on the circumstances of the bottom three. Most of us have a song that we really want to sing, if we're ever in the bottom three, but then it could also change. Like, if you're in the bottom three more than once, you know, you have to come up with something on the fly. So.
So do you spend, when you, your day-to-day life, is that mostly practicing, mostly hanging out? Does it vary from day to day? What is a typical day at the Rockstar Supernova Mansion like?
We wake up and we get to the kitchen and we look at the schedule to see what the hell is going on. It changes every day. There's only 2 days that don't change, and that's Tuesday, Wednesday, show days. Those don't change. And because of the fast turnaround on Wednesday and the quickness of the show and the intensity of the show, it's a really, Wednesdays are exhausting days.
I know that on your, and again, I don't know if you can talk about this, I know that on your blog, you the Rockstar MSN blog, you had noted that really the stress kind of got to you before the taping, and it was really just sort of, it's a dumb question, but I mean, what does it feel like to stand on a stage and know that there's, you know, there's like 30 million sets of eyes on you?
Honestly, Rick, that's the easiest part for me. The easiest part is performing in front of, you know, I thought it was going to get to me, millions and millions and millions and millions of people around the world watching and judging and scrutinizing. It doesn't get to me at all. It's like falling off a log. I've been doing it forever, and every musician pretty much has rehearsed and done air guitar and sung into their hairbrush, imagining millions of people watching and judging and whatever. And damn the masses, and I'm awesome, and I rule, and blah, 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 and all that. So that doesn't bother me. What has been getting to me has been the schedule changing, the lack of control that I have over my day-to-day decisions, because I'm used to to being in charge of everything in my life, my booking, my management, my phone calls, my food, you know. I'm in charge of everything. And now they tell me what to say, what not to say. And it's really, really challenging. But it's kind of a crash course in what real fame and real celebrity is like, because you kind of have to have all that going on because there's so much going on that's out of your control.
So are you guys completely isolated, or do you ever get to get out of the house and go out in public? Yeah. Or?
Oh, yeah, we get to go out, and I'm sure there's going to be great pictures on MSN of different outings. We went out to see Dave Navarro's band at the Roxy last week, and we go to meet and greet for fans and stuff, and we're going out this evening. We're not told where, so but we're going out this evening on a I believe it's a CBS kind of outing. We have press parties and we right now there's a big outing going to the drugstore. We're all going to the drugstore. I'm not going, but
woo!
You know, it's so exciting to be like, I don't need anything, but I just want to go. You know,
right? Is it okay? And maybe you know this, maybe you don't. You know, Tommy Lee seems increasingly drunk as the nights go on.
We can't talk about.
No, I mean maybe you can. I'm just saying from my perspective.
Yeah, one day he looked really messed up, and the next day he looked really hungover.
He looked really puffy last Wednesday. Tuesday he was all belligerent. Wednesday he was all quiet and swollen. just FYI, I don't know how far away you're sitting from that guy, but he did not look well. Let's see. We got a phone call here. This is Brad. Brad, you're on with Storm Lodge, Rockstar Supernova.
Brad,
hey, Brad, how are you?
I'm proud as hell of you.
Thank you, sir.
My wedding, so I could have said the Rockstar Supernova star sang at my wedding, but that's okay. Hey, I want to know if you get to read any of the blogs and all the other stuff as the show's going on.
No, I am not allowed to read any of my own press. I'm not allowed to read any. I'm not allowed to go online or be really told of any anything that comes out. I mean, I know who I give interviews to, and I know what magazines I show up in, but I'm not allowed to really read because they don't want me to. They don't want to spoil my performance. They don't want me to change anything I'm doing or be influenced in any way by public opinion.
Well, it's not out of school, but you're getting Davey's getting mad support on your site, so that's great.
I know that. My dad told me that,
your
actually.
Dad's awesome. Your dad's awesome.
All right, there you go. There's Davey. Brad. All right, thank you, Brad. Hey, you know, speaking of press, you were in Entertainment Weekly. You probably know that.
Yeah.
This week, and Entertainment Weekly picks you as the final one of the final four.
Yeah.
I heard that, and I also heard that there's a bunch of sexual tension between me and Tommy Lee.
Is that true?
Well, no. He flirts with boys and girls and everyone and dogs and cats and statues. He's just like that.
I get the feeling that Tommy Lee would probably go to bed with a chair.
and the chair would call him the next day, probably.
Yeah, seriously. So, no, the Entertainment Weekly, the most negative thing they could find to say about you was just that they were unclear about whether Tommy Lee wanted you for his band or his bed. And that was it.
Oh, snap.
So, and I know that this is it always in danger of it just turning into, like, everybody just waxing your car and blowing sunshine at you. So I try to make it not about that, but I do have to tell you that my wife made the most my wife made what I think is probably the definitive observation about you, and it was when we were watching you sing Surrender, which is now my ringtone, by the way, but she made the observation that to her she said that it was like it wasn't even a contest, that you were just on a whole different planet from everybody else, and I really think it's in terms of confidence. I really have to say that I think that the thing that I will say about your performance is the difference between you and everybody else is it doesn't really seem when I watch you like I'm watching somebody competing. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Everybody else is competing and they're out there and they're giving it their all and they're trying to put on a great performance for the guys. And it doesn't, when I watch you, it doesn't ever really seem like I'm watching somebody who's competing. It just seems like I'm watching a performer. Like I think that's the difference, is it really seems like you are just out there because you belong there.
Exactly. And, you know, and I have explained this. We don't mingle with Supernova. They don't want us to really get too tight with them because then they'll be favorites and it'll be weird and
right. It
all has to be fair. But in the instances where we do get to talk, because there's a lot of, I mean, it's a 1-hour show and a lot goes on that doesn't make it to the show, but a lot of back and forth and conversations go on that you miss. And one of the things that, you know, even though they will give me criticism and, you know, sometimes negative feedback, the predominant thing is, you know, we get it. You know, we get you're a pro. We get that you have huge, vast experience on, it's just a matter, you know, I explain to them, listen, you know, looking for a member of your band is like looking for a nose for your face.
Right.
It's incredibly personal. It's incredibly intimate, and it's a huge, especially at this level, it's a humongous, humongous decision. And I would never take it personally if they're like, you know what, you are, I already know they think I'm awesome. That's why I'm here. And that's really, that's a big deal for me. These guys are my heroes, and it's a really big deal. And but I would never take it personally if they're like, you know what, you're just not right for us.
Yeah, and you're not going to make some crack about how you were wearing diapers when their music came
yeah,
out.
Yeah, I cannot believe it came out of her mouth.
That was ill-advised.
Hey, Storm, real quick, so are they going to have an encore every week? Because I noticed they had Delana do it the first week, and so we were waiting for an encore this past week, and there wasn't.
No, there was. Toby did it. It was the Australian guy, yeah.
Oh, maybe.
I mean, Toby did the encore. Toby is probably hands down one of the... Toby and Phil are probably the funniest guys I've ever met in my life. Everybody here is so cool. I know everybody's going to see different dramas from every corner of the house, but everybody is just so cool. It's so much fun.
Even Lucas?
What about Lucas?
Just kidding. I don't know.
He seems like the first guy to hit the liquor cabinet. It seems like that's probably his first stop when he walks in the doors, right to the Jim Beam.
Fight over eyeliner.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah. I think the eyeliner's first and then the Jim Beam, but we don't have really any hard alcohol allowed in the house.
Oh.
But no, Lucas is a beautiful human being. I mean, he is a rock star through and through. And but he's funny, and he's really incredibly talented, and he's an awesome guy too. So it's tricky. It's anybody's game, really.
All right. Well, as things kind of progress, it's, you know, we'll keep talking to you, and it's just, I mean, it's, we're all stressed out on this end, but it's good to know. I will say that when you kind of get out there, we can, you know, it is very obvious that you are in your element, kind mm-hmm. of when they say go, so.
Yeah.
All right. Storm Large, Rockstar Supernova, tomorrow and Wednesday. All right, Storm, we will talk to you soon, sister.
Good luck, Storm.
Thank you guys so much. I'll talk to you next week and give big love to my people in Portland and Davey and everybody. I miss you guys like crazy.
As always, Portland loves you.
I love you guys right back. Take care. I'll talk to you next week.
Later, Storm. Rock! All right, there you go. Storm Large, ladies and gentlemen. All right.
Awesome.
Oh, boy, it's weird when you talk to her. You can totally feel the person sitting next to her, can't
mm-hmm.
you? You can totally sense the CBS flak right next to her with a gun. Do not talk about that!
All right. We're about 20 minutes late for a break.
Jesus. Oh, my God. Is it 20 till 3?
Yes.
We've gotten to nothing. Nothing.
Should I end the storm watch?
I have nothing. Yes, that's your storm watch. We'll be back after this. Don't go anywhere. It's a Rick Emerson Show. You did it.
Hi, Spicy.
Careful, sailor.
It's a long way to the top if you want to rock and roll.
Super dope. That was badass, man.
Are there going to be strippers?
I don't know. I was thinking about it.
Is it up to you? Are you in charge of getting the strippers?
No, well, my friend Lisa and I, we need to get together. And...
Who's getting married?
Oh, my friend Rhaenyra.
Rhaenyra?
Uh-huh. Is
she a princess?
Yes.
Does it sound like an Indian princess name? Rhaenyra.
No. They're getting married this weekend, so.
All right. What happens? Never mind. We'll talk about it tomorrow. Oh, we got
bachelorette parties?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
We got never mind. We have 10 minutes here.
Yeah.
It's shows like today that prompt the thought in my head that maybe we should have a longer program. No, but here's why we don't. People have asked about that. Why don't you have a longer program? Because, I mean, obviously, you know, because, you know, A, we can't go longer Because that would get, you know, because Lycus is there, and Lycus is the biggest thing, and, you know, there's no take away. First of all, Lycus is the biggest show on the station. And the biggest show, the biggest draw, and there's just no, you know, there's just, so that's out of the question. We can't go any longer, nor would I want to, because, again, it's like, you know, we all sort of live in the shadow of Tom here, so we obviously can't go longer. The only solution would be to start earlier, and I think mentally we've all agreed that just noon is a good place to start. I think it would just be weird if we tried to start the show at like 10.
11 is too early.
I'm sorry?
11 is too early.
It's not just that it's too early, it would just feel weird. It's, I mean, because with the exception of that dark time when we did the show from 9 to noon over at Entercom.
What show from 9 to noon?
That's what I'm saying. it's almost like we were not even there. That noon has just been where this show has been for like 8 years. God, I'm, you know, the weird thing is we've been here for the better part of a decade. The show has been on in Portland one form or another. But noon has when the show is when the show has always started. It would just be strange to start at another day. It would just seem unnatural. And then if we started the show at like 10 or 11, there's a question, well, could we keep the news hour at noon? Or do we make, you know, the 10 o'clock news? Which I guess kind of has a certain ring to it, but...
Nah.
No.
No.
And I don't think they want to pay us enough to do a five-hour show. And I don't really know that if we're just going to want to do that out of the goodness of their hearts.
Maybe if they cash in their refrigerator.
I was going to say, maybe if they agreed to give us napkins. Anyway, so... but this today is a textbook example, though, why we need a longer show. So I still have to play The Week in Geek. Are we going to do the snuff watch in this segment?
If you'd like to.
Well, let's do it tomorrow.
All right. We'll
because, well, here's why. Because I get questions about the snuff watch theme sometimes. And every so often, unless somebody, what are the odds that a celebrity's going to die between today and tomorrow?
Now you just increase them immensely.
Maybe. Well, maybe Jerry Lewis will die or something. Because every so often we'll take one of our watches or our themes or like the Dream Theater song that begins the show, and we'll play the whole thing in its entirety. I guess it's redundant. But we'll play the song in the all together. And so we've had lately a few questions. People have just emailed about our snuff watch theme, which you'll recognize part of this. This is the... Okay, well, that's weird. That's the last time I have Scotty edit something. Now it's starting in the middle. Well, whatever. Anyway, but you know, the these are people who died.
Does it have a lot of swear words in it?
No, it doesn't.
I'm just kidding.
No, that's how you know. That's the mark that Scotty's edited something is. He's actually gone in and put extra profanity in the song. Well, anyway, but it's called People Who Die by Jim Carroll. And, well, we'll do it tomorrow. Let's do this. The guy's still going to be dead. And yeah. Nobody really knows who we're talking about anyway, but somebody died, and the guy's still going to be dead tomorrow. So we'll do it tomorrow, and we'll play the Snuffwatch theme in its entirety, The People Who Died by Jim Carroll. So I'm still going to do The Week in Geek. Let's, though, go to the city desk with your personal savior, Tim Riley.
From Hires House of Audubon, the Coin Tower, downtown Portland, Oregon, CBS presents the City Desk News Beat, Tim Riley reporting. A 16-year-old is shot in the buttocks. The owners of Clark's General Store heard somebody breaking in over the weekend, so Robert Fink grabbed a shotgun and confronted two people. One got away.
Fantastic.
But Fink held the other at gunpoint. Then the other burglar returned, saying he had a gun. In the confusion, both suspects escaped. Fink and his neighbor chased them on foot, fired a round of shots, and shot one in the buttocks.
Excellent.
The buttocks victim was life-flighted to Emmanuel Hospital.
You know, that's just a sort of injury that... I mean, it's just so embarrassing. You have to tell some guy he got shot on the buttocks. That's not going to get you street cred anywhere.
Nope. So he's 16 years old, and hopefully he learned.
He won't be doing that again.
A contractor for Home Depot in Florida.
Oh, wait.
Oh.
Oh, God damn it.
You already got bored.
Oh, I'm so... Somebody suggested that you and I should have different Florida themes so we can tell who got what.
Dueling Florida themes.
Yes.
Anyway, the contractor for Home Depot in Florida died while installing a washer and dryer. Mark Sweeney and another worker were installing appliances at a condominium when Sweeney screamed and then collapsed. Rescue workers tried to revive him, but they were not successful. They theorized he was electrocuted to death.
Well, okay. He is dead, right?
Yes, he is.
Well, there you go. So that would make sense. Okay.
That's kind of a snuff watch, isn't it?
Nah, not really.
This comes to us from Arizona.
Oh, wait, that's all me.
Mm-hmm. Arizona, Arizona.
There you go. go. Thank you.
A Goodyear man accused of racing down Scottsdale's Loop 101 highway at 147 miles an hour was scheduled to appear in court this week. Police say 26-year-old Lawrence Pargo was photographed by enforcement cameras traveling 148, 128, 105, and 102 miles an hour in four different occasions. He was arrested on suspicion of excessive speeding. Some automotive experts have questioned whether his 2006 Hyundai Sonata could reach 147 miles an hour. Saying federally mandated speed limiters have kept the car to no higher than 135 to 137. A leading auto magazine said the top speed for the Sonata is 137 miles an hour. If convicted of excessive speeding, Pargo would have to pay $201 and be sentenced to jail. Meanwhile, roller coasters have crashed, but not at Disneyland this time. It happened in Sweden. Who knew they had a roller coaster? But two roller coasters collided at Sweden's largest amusement park.
How would two roller coasters collide?
Well, it happened as the chain that pulls the train up the initial climb malfunctioned, causing a fully loaded train to roll backwards into the starting platform, hitting another train as it was unloading riders.
Well, I thought there was only one. Okay, doesn't it seem like sensible roller coaster construction would call for only one train to be on the tracks at the time?
Maybe they don't have the expertise in Sweden to do this.
Doesn't it seem like you're begging for trouble if you have a roller coaster on which there are two separate trains?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that would seem to be the first thing you would do, is only have one.
Well, the steel coaster was built in 1987 in one of Sweden's largest amusement parks in Gothenburg, which is the second largest city.
Gothenburg. Sounds like a happening place. Okay.
Internet video site YouTube has used its users, has said its users are now downloading more than 100 million videos per day.
No, YouTube is the new Napster.
Yep.
Especially here at radio stations where they typically won't give you access because they're so terrified of viri and lawsuits and so forth. And radio companies and corporations, like here, they won't let you access, you know, Napster or Nutella or anything like that. And so, I'm sorry, are we interrupting your social life? And so no, YouTube
is a calendar reminder. Sorry.
What do you have? What do you have to do
on today's community calendar?
What's that?
That photo shoot thing.
Oh yeah. Are you going to be modeling that lingerie?
No.
Okay. YouTube is where we go if we want to get any. Now everybody's distracted thinking about what Sarah's going to be modeling and so forth. Okay. Well, there you go. I have to say, and I've got all of this email coming in about the vegan thing, and I don't know that I have time to read it. Rick, I play hockey against a the subject line of this is punk vegan ass. Rick, I play hockey against a friend who's a, quote, vegan, end quote. He's constantly gasping for air and has no energy. I beat his ass every time we play. No, I don't have to bitch stick him. I'm able to check his lame vegan ass into the boards. This is a very angry email. I'm able to check his lame vegan ass into the boards every day of the week and twice on Sundays. I'm 5'5", 130. Vegan lamer. Holler if you need someone to beat his ass. This is from a woman.
It sounds like he's made out of pipe cleaners.
April. This is not April. This is a woman offering to beat the vegan ass. Oh, what I wouldn't give to see a woman beat up a vegan. Oh, that'd be fantastic. I don't have any time to talk about it here. See, because the vegan guy, remember, you were gone. You were in New York.
Uh-huh.
And this guy, this vegan, CJ, called up. And apparently I had been taunting vegans or speaking ill of them or saying that they were all pasty and frail, which is apparently the case. And this guy, CJ, called up and he's like, I'm a vegan and I'll beat your meat-eating ass or whatever. And he challenged me to some throwdown, some vegan versus carnivore boxing match, which is the great thing about that is that... See, it ties in because we got, I don't know, what is this, July something, 18th, 17th? Yeah, so we're like 4 weeks away because there's another sport fight thing coming up in August, which is it at the Rose Garden again or is it Memorial Coliseum? I think it's at the Rose Garden. It seemed like it was a logical follow-up to our city suburbs thing. And we've already got the vegan. All we need is the meat eater. All we need is some guy who is a meat eater who is willing to beat vegan ass. So that's all.
Why don't you be that guy, Rick?
Because
you're all tough talking about vegans all the time.
Yeah.
Yes.
Don't be an instigator.
It should be Rick versus Tim.
Okay. No. Tim and I are not gonna fight each other in a steel cage.
Ever.
Anyway, so all we have to do is get some guy who's a meat eater who's willing to step in and
Rick
fight.
Emerson.
I'm not fighting. No.
Didn't he call and ask and say that you were gonna fight him?
Yeah, but that would be he. That's. Not the same. It would be more.
You're that guy, right?
I'm not that guy.
I
no
really
one wants to see me No one wants to see me fighting a vegan.
Getting beat up by a vegan?
I wouldn't be, I wouldn't get beat up by the vegan. I'm just saying, what is that? Is this your clever reverse psychology? No, Rick. Sure you wouldn't. Oh, okay, whatever. But it's like a whole, we gotta find somebody. And I think the only requirement is that you be, there's like a weight class. I think the only requirement is that you be a meat eater, and I think you gotta be between 150 and 180.
That's perfect. Rick.
No, I think I'm out anyway, because I think I weigh more than, I don't even own a scale. I think I'm out of that anyway. Yeah, the contestant carnivore must be between 150 and 180. And that's a sport fight rule. We'll talk about that tomorrow. So tomorrow we have to find a carnivore who's willing to beat vegan ass.
We've already found one.
Or not. I weigh more than 180.
You do not weigh more than 180.
I totally weigh. See, now look how it suddenly reversed it. Where normally you're the one saying I'm all bloated up and hideous and I'm trying. No, I'm thin, baby!
All right, let's bring in a scale tomorrow and weigh you.
I weigh more than 180. See, and then...
No, we'll get a scale.
Okay. And tomorrow we'll play the Weekend Geek. God, I'm lame. All right. Hey, by the way, as we head on out here, we'll take caller 5 here. We will take callers 5 and 7 for some tickets to see the International Fight League on September 9th, 2006 at Memorial Coliseum. More about that tomorrow. Rick Emerson Show produced today and every day by the lovely and talented Sarah X. Dillon for AM 970 Solid State Radio. Tim Riley in the newsroom. Scotty J. More than an intern. See you tomorrow. Don't let the bastards grind it down. See y'all. Bye.
Like being tortured in the butt with drywall screws.